Good morning. Well, I brought everything with me except my Bible. And so this is the funniest thing. I was told the Lord this morning, I prayed this prayer. I said, Lord, I want to live a life that I teach about. I don't want to teach about a life that I try to live. There's a difference. I want to live a life that I teach about. I want to live a life and then be able to teach about it instead of trying to teach about a life that I try to live, which is the way so many Christians do. And I think the Lord obviously is in control and had me forget my Bible because I'm a Bible person. And my favorite thing in the world is to be in the Word and to teach the Word. But Westerners can become such Bible people that we're always trying to stand on the Word and believe in the Word. But Jesus is the Word. Jesus is the truth. And at some point, we got to get out of the book and live the life and then be able to teach about the life we're living instead of always just looking in the Word and trying to teach the life and trying to live it. I'd rather live it and tell about it than tell about it and try to live it. Does that make sense to you? This is not what I'll save this one until tomorrow because it's from Micah chapter 6. And so I don't, there's a cool place in Micah 6 that talks about being in love. Literally, the word is being lovesick about God's love. Stunning. We'll do that. Not tomorrow. Tomorrow's 4th of July. Okay. So tomorrow's 4th of July. So I'm going to do what every other red-blooded, spirit-filled American will do. Like get on a float, go down the river and drink all the beer I possibly can. No, that's not true at all. That's a southern version of a Christian American. No, I'm not. But we'll do that word Wednesday. I've talked about righteousness some lately. And by the way, I'm so excited about you being here. I wasn't sure many people would come because some people think 4th of July is like today and tomorrow. And actually, some people thought it was Sunday, today, and tomorrow. But the cool thing is that doesn't matter how many people are here, right? I said before, Jesus turned aside to go for one woman that nobody else wanted to have anything to do with, woman at the well. And he was always doing stuff like that. He's still always doing stuff like that. And so he's always saying to me, every day since I've gotten back from Africa, particularly, I'll hear him say to me, this building thinks that I can't wait to get over there. I'm so excited about being there with them. And then he says, because I want you to talk about me to them so that they'll understand how wonderful I think they are. And then he said, because I want them to understand how wonderful they are. That's his goal. If you really understand who you are in Christ, loving yourself isn't an issue of pride. It's like bingo. It's like Jesus said, this is the whole point. If you can't love yourself, you can't love anybody. It starts out with your loving God as a response to him loving you, and then it kind of spills out. But again, he said, I want you to tell them how much I love them. I want them to understand, is what he said, how wonderful I think they are, because I want them to understand how wonderful they are in his eyes. Do you understand that? And yet we've been so bombarded in our religious world, maybe so, especially in the Bible Belt, just what a worm you are. And just be grateful that you're not going to hell. But God loves you. He doesn't care much for you. He can't back out because he made a promise that he's God. Or then there are those Christians there are Christians who believe that he can actually backs out, that he's back in, that he's back out. But this isn't what you do. I always love that one because how can you undeserve what you never got as a deserving thing anyway? If it's a gift, it's a gift. God doesn't give gifts with strings attached. I don't know if you do. You give Christmas gifts and go, if you're a nice little girl, you'll get to keep this, but if I find out you're not, I'm coming and getting it back. That's God loves better than that. We wouldn't even do that. But one of the things we've been talking about is righteousness. And I think we're going to repeat this some Sunday because we'll do part two of not yesterday's word, but the week before. But that verse again in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 21, for he made him, Jesus, who knew no sin, to become sin on our behalf that we might become the righteousness of God in Christ. Not that we would act righteous, but that we would become something. We'd become the righteousness of God in Christ. It happens in the person of Christ because you're in Christ. And so we've said is that it doesn't say so that you have a right standing with God, which is what most people teach about righteousness, is that you have a right standing with God, but you're in Christ and you're one. And so you have God's right standing with God. If you're in Christ, you've become the righteousness of God in Christ. Is Christ the second person of the Trinity or not? So you have God's right standing with God. And righteousness means more than that. It also means righteous living. But righteousness is the right kind of living, God kind of living, godliness. And we have a tendency to think, okay, that's about all the things I can't do anymore. No, it's about all the things you get to do and all the things you get to walk in and experience. It's the life and life more abundant that Jesus has come in us to live through us. It's righteousness. So all the things and examples that I've been given lately since I got back from Africa, even before that, like when I've said before that the conversation kind of started with me months ago with the Lord about some person, and you wouldn't know this person, but I said, Lord, I don't know what to do. I don't know what I've tried. I don't know what else to do. What do I do? And the Lord Jesus, and Jesus said, I'm just going to love this person more. How about you? I said, well, in light of the fact that you're my life, doesn't mean you're my favorite. I mean, he's my life. I'm in Christ. We're one. So if you're my life, I think you've already made that decision for me, right? Yes. And so I surrender to that. And when I do, the love of Christ comes forth, and that's righteousness. That's right behavior. That's the right behavior of God. When I come into a place and I go, Lord, I'm not sure about this. And Jesus says, I've got peace about this. And I go, oh, okay. Well, if you have peace about it, then who am I to argue with that? So I'm going to surrender to that. I say yes and trust you with that. And then his peace begins to come forth. That's righteousness. That's the right living. That's the way God lives. How peaceful is God? When the joy of the Lord is my strength, that's righteousness. He's a joyful God. So this is, I wrote this down. So I was asking the Lord something last night. Something would happen, had nothing to do with anybody and Christ the King, so you don't start going, let your imagination go wild. If your imagination goes wild, go, oh yeah, I bet I know who that is, then you need to repent about something. Because Jesus only thinks what's best about everybody. He doesn't think like that, right? You understand? He doesn't do that like. So I said, Lord, something happened. I said, do I have anything to fear here? And he said, not unless I do. That is so awesome. That's the kind of conversation. So when we talk about the simplicity and the purity to Christ in 2 Corinthians 11, the word purity there is holiness. We think holiness is just about a bunch of stuff you can't do. Holiness, the word holy just means other. That's what the word literally means, other. It's the otherness of Jesus. Where you might have a tendency to be anxious, you knowing the peace of Christ, that's the otherness, that's holiness. Where you might have a tendency to be critical, and Jesus says, I just don't talk bad about people. So you would like to join me, and you join him, and then you find yourself being set free from a critical spirit, that's holy. When you say, Lord, do I have something to fear? And he goes, not unless I do. And you go, oh, well, I surrender to that, and I trust you with that. That's holiness, because that's other than my flesh is. You with me? That's righteousness. So if you read the second part of Romans chapter 6, the opposite of sin, instead of sin reigning, is righteousness reigning. For if by the transgressions of the one, sin reigned through the one, because of Adam's sin and me having his nature, born with his nature, through the transgressions of the one, death reigned through the one, much more, spiritual death, those who receive the abundance of grace and the gift of righteousness will reign in life through the one Christ Jesus. Not just reign in this life, but reign in life coming forth. The verse I was going to share from Romans 6 is, it says in verse 14, for sin shall no longer be your master, for you're no longer under the law, bent toward yourself to try to produce anything, but you're under grace, the reign of grace. There's a verse, a couple of verses down later, it says, don't you know that whoever you surrender yourself to, if it's to sin, the consequence is death. But if it's to God, then it's to the consequence is righteousness. And righteousness is life. And so one of the things I'm wanting people to get used to hearing in their heart and head, because it's not like, most of the time, it's not like I'm going, well, Lord, do I have something? I'm saying it wrong. I can't remember this, but it's written down. Thank you, Jesus. When I say something like, Lord, do I have anything to fear? I don't go, okay, you're on. I'm just talking to the Lord. You ever just talk to the Lord? about a situation, you're like, do I have anything to fear here? And the voice, I mean, it's the voice of the Lord. So clear, so clarion, like the sound of a trumpet. And says, do I have anything to fear? He said, not unless I do. Because it's not about me. If I'm left on my own, I got to deal with my emotions and everything else. But if he's my life, and when he says that to me, I can go, wow, I can surrender to that. And that's righteousness and holiness. That's other than what I would normally be, apart from him. But I'm not apart from him anymore, am I? If you abide in him, you'll bear fruit. And that's fruit, the fruit of his life. And so what I'm saying is, ask the Lord to give you ears to hear the other that Jesus has to say to you than what you're feeling or thinking. I don't know what else to do. I've told people, I guess I can lay hands on people, but I don't really know if I'm supposed to do that. I can't just, create chandeliers in here so you can all get Pentecostal and swing from them. All I know to do is live the life and then teach it and say, he speaks other. That's the way he invites us to surrender. If I say something like, Lord, I really do love that person, he'll say things like, out of nowhere, he'll just like go, yes, we do, don't we? Because we are one, but we're, Lord, I just think that person's amazing. Yes, we do, don't we? Or if I'm going, gosh, Lord, I wish that person would quit talking so much. I got another appointment. And the Lord will say things, just break out and go, I'm thinking those thoughts. And he'll go, I'm on the edge of my seat. Every word that comes out of your mouth, I'm enthralled with. How about you, Chuck? Oh, yeah. I just repented and said yes. And then all of a sudden, I'm with him in that. We're on the edge of our seat. That's holiness and that's righteousness. That's the fun way to live. Amen? Okay. Well, whoever's going to, different people show up every day, but John's here every day, and I'm very grateful for that. And I'm going to miss being here tomorrow. I would rather be here. Like, would I rather do barbecue or a feast on the body and the blood of Jesus? Come on, right? What's the fun in that when you could be here? So it's not like a church service to me. It's just the rhythm of this life in Christ. And so I pray that you have a stunning week. I can tell you that you're stunning to Jesus. He thinks you're wonderful. He wants you to realize how wonderful you are. And embrace that, because that's how he feels. So stop arguing with him. He paid a pretty huge price, not because of you, because there was something rotten about you. He paid a huge price for you, because he thought you were so wonderful. Amen? So I can't imagine what he's going to do now. It's going to have to be wonderful, because that's who he is. So there's somebody here. I don't want you to raise your hand. Do not raise your hand. Who's tilting. That's the word I'm using. They're tilting in their emotions towards depression. They're not there, but they feel themselves tilting. And so you just need to ask, tell the Lord that. Say, Lord, I don't want to get depressed. And I bet you Jesus will say something other, like, well, I never do, so why don't you join me? Why don't you just surrender to my joy and the fact I don't get depressed? And I'm not controlled by chemical imbalances. He can balance all those chemicals. And then watch him do it. I can talk about those things with authority because I was clinically mentally ill all those years ago. Amen. Okay, I'll keep talking if you don't.